Hello, my name is Tom Rebeck. I'm Research Director here at Analysys Mason. I'm here with Enrique Velasco-Castillo, who is a Senior Analyst on our Digital Economy Strategies Programme. And we're going to be talking today a bit about blockchain and what it means for telecoms operators. So there's lots out there on blockchain. I don't propose we spend too much time talking about what it is, but in a sentence or two, Enrique, what is blockchain?
I think the best way to think about blockchain is as a decentralized database, or even better than that, a decentralized append-only log.
Break that down.
Yes. So what I mean by that is decentralized. You've got many nodes. None of them controls or owns the network. None of them is the main one, in theory. And you can only write to it.
Right.
And the verification of what you write, it happens throughout the network using fairly complex encryption and algorithmic protocols.
Yeah. And the advantage of all of this is you don't have a single central body controlling everything. You can have trustless transactions.
Correct. So no node is in control of the network. No node can tell the others this is the truth and this is what the real state of the log or
right.
the database is.
Okay.
And so it's useful for applications where the nodes don't need to trust each other, where you have no control over which other entities you're transacting with or
yeah.
you're sharing data with.
So this means disparate bodies can have transactions or share information without necessarily needing to know?
Needing to know each other and needing to trust each other.
Right.
That's why it's usually called a trustless
yeah.
Environment.
Okay. So where are we today with blockchain?
So there's been a lot of activity around investments. Telcos have been investing or exploring using blockchain in a number of applications. You remember, for example, that Verizon Ventures invested in a company called Filament, aiming to do IoT applications using blockchain back in 2015.
Right.
Orange also invested in a company that develops financial services applications using blockchain. And there's been a number of other examples. Telefonica has a partnership with a company called Digital X, aiming to do international airtime top-ups using blockchain. Do has an electronic health record pilot in the UAE in partnership with Dubai's Global Blockchain Council. AT&T has been experimenting with using blockchain to bring transparency into the advertising value chain.
Okay.
Telstra is trialing IoT and biometrics.
So there's a whole mix of telecoms operators doing something with blockchain. Some of them, the Telefonica example, you said it was about airtime, so that's kind of related to the core business.
It's related to the core business, but it's not entirely clear how exactly blockchain fits within this environment, because airtime transfers is not something that necessarily requires blockchain. I think that as an alternative to payments, blockchain solutions have captured the imagination of a lot of people as a way to transfer value or transfer money across borders in a way that bypasses
the traditional
banking system.
But the things that the operators are doing, there's some that are internal, or sort of internal-ish, or related to the existing business, or like what Telefonix is doing. But the other examples you had, like AT&T with advertising, well, it's related to the core business, but it's adjacent
to it. And that is something that we see a lot of at the moment. The core uses of blockchain do not really fit that well in the internal, say, OSS, BSS, or internal systems for telcos, because telcos know what kind of computers they have connected
yeah.
to the network. They know and already have mechanisms to authenticate any kind of entity that needs to connect to their
yeah.
to their systems. And so the internal use cases for blockchain within telcos are not entirely clear at the moment. And I don't think there's a strong case for using blockchain as part of the telco's internal operations.
Because mostly, and I guess this goes back to what blockchain is, blockchain allows transactions between people who don't know each other, entities that don't know each other, but anything to do with a telecoms operator, if it's a billing system,
yeah.
then you have a single data. You don't need those sort of trustless.
You don't really need it, because you should have already in place a mechanism to authenticate and to verify that you are transacting with your peers.
Right.
Whereas for other external use cases, like, say, payments or
yeah.
IoT, there may be some potential there, but it's still not entirely clear how using the technology that originated with Bitcoin is actually a better alternative than other types of systems, the other types of architectures.
Because again, you've got this problem that the blockchain solves certain problems, but they're not necessarily the problems that are faced
they're
by.
They're not the problems that telcos tend to have.
Right.
That is right. Even if you look at payments, the problems that telcos tend to have in that space are not really technical. The problems tend to do with regulation, the problems tend to do with customer adoption, the problems tend to do with quality of service and user experience.
Yeah. So what about the other things that telco, so there's the internal use cases where you think it's difficult to find obvious applications for blockchain.
Yeah.
But there's also these external things that telecoms operators are doing, so.
Those are a little bit more interesting, but I think that at the current stage, you're gonna face a number of problems. One of them is integrating blockchain solutions into your legacy system. So there will have to be some kind of interoperability layer or translation layer between your systems and the blockchain layer.
Right.
The problem with that is that you are entering again into a space where you centralize something.
Because you need somebody to provide that translation layer, that's a centralized body.
Exactly. Yeah. So that essentially re-centralizes limits the decentralization potential of blockchain. You need some kind of entity to verify that you are you and you have access to that data, essentially.
Yeah.
The other issue is that it's not entirely clear whether blockchains as they currently stand actually are the right tool for the kind of business challenges that operators are trying to solve in this space. So for example, if you look at financial applications, which is where most of the activity around blockchains happens at the moment. I mean, there's a venture capital firm that tracks investments and activity in blockchain, and they have something like 293 initiatives tracked as of May 2018.
Right.
47% of those initiatives are in financial applications,
okay.
Financial systems. Only 1% is in telco.
Right.
So that gives you an idea of the difference in scale and applicability. There's a lot of interest in using blockchains to track goods, for example, or to track supply value chains, or to track digital assets or fleets. But for telcos in particular, and for the financial industry in general as well, it seems to be that the vendors producing these solutions tend to go for either adding functionality and adding features that make blockchains more compatible with legacy systems and legacy databases and with APIs on top of existing blockchain implementations like Ethereum, or they completely re-engineer everything from the ground up. And I think an interesting case in point is R3. You remember R3, the financial consortium that was started in 2014, 2015 by a number of the leading financial institutions and banks around the world, so Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan and so on. They started this consortium to bring to use blockchains and the code base from Bitcoin and Ethereum into the banks.
Yeah.
Right? And the goal was to provide more security, provide more transparency, and lower the costs. They actually run a number of trials using different technologies. They tried Ethereum, they tried IBM solutions, they tried a solution developed by the company where Orange invested, Chain, and they tried something else called Monex. And it seems that those trials have faced a number of challenges. One example is when the Bank of Canada and Payments Canada, which are two of the institutions that manage the wholesale interbank payment system in the country, they ran a production trial with several different blockchains. And they found challenges around privacy. So they realized that privacy around transactions wasn't fully there as they needed it. And once they solved the privacy problem, they realized that they had, again, a single point failure, which made the architecture very brittle. And then, of course, because you have a single point of failure, scalability becomes an issue.
Yeah.
Right. So vendors have tried to either add different things on top of existing blockchain implementations, bigger blocks or different proof of work or proof of stake algorithms. But at the end of the day, what happens is that these solutions are not a really good fit in production for mission critical applications,
right?
Like banking.
Yeah.
And so what happened is that R3, the consortium started by the banks, decided to re-engineer the whole system from the ground up. So it's not a blockchain anymore, what they are developing. It's a system that actually, in their own words, resembles more the architecture of email, SMTP.
Right.
So it's a messaging protocol. It actually uses AMQP, which is a messaging protocol developed by JP Morgan back in 2003. And the transactions are not broadcast to the
right.
whole network. The transactions are broadcast from one point to another on a need to know basis.
Right. So you're essentially saying that from the stats you had earlier, about half of the blockchain initiatives were in finance, but you're saying even in finance, with this R3 initiative, they're not actually using it. It's this great blockchain inspired rather than actually blockchain.
That's right. And we're getting into the blockchain inspired territory more and more. If you look at IOTA, which is a blockchain inspired initiative that aims to provide solutions for the IoT space, they say in their marketing materials, you know, we don't use blocks, we don't
right.
use chains, we have no miners. Which in my mind, and if I'm a bit of a purist in that sense, I tend to think of blockchains as having blocks.
Blocks and chains.
Having chains and having miners or some other type of transaction verification
right.
algorithm.
So just to go briefly back to the telecoms operators, why are they doing this then? Is it just because they want to have blockchain in their investor presentations, or?
I think that a lot of it was a genuine need to be perceived as innovative and ahead of the game.
Yeah.
If you look at the investments and a lot of the telco-oriented activity around blockchain that happened in 2015 and 2016,
yeah.
At a time when cryptocurrencies were starting to capture the public's imagination
yeah.
by, you know, virtue of bitcoins and ethers increasing valuations.
Yeah.
So that's one angle. It entered the public mind
yeah.
at that time. And at that time it was, I have to say, a very, very promising opportunity, a very promising set of ideas that could in potentia become suitable products in production. And we wrote a report back then saying, well, there are a number of activities where telcos could actually have a significant role if they either implement or develop blockchain-based
yeah.
solutions. The reality is more complicated now because you have, on the one hand, you have a lot of media attention around cryptocurrencies and
yeah.
around ICOs. And I think that has bedeviled the discourse around blockchain to a certain degree because it's more difficult right now to separate the solutions that have a solid technical proposition versus the marketing hype. And
yeah.
I think that we're reaching a point where, you know, definitely operators and CTOs are becoming much more sophisticated in terms of understanding
mm-hmm.
where it is that the real value lies. Where is it that the real potential savings or the potential opportunity happens? At the same time, you've got interesting examples of operators that have decided to monetize blockchain in a completely indirect way, like Swisscom. They
yeah.
launched essentially what is a professional services advisory around blockchain.
Right.
It's a fully owned entity owned by Swisscom that is essentially consulting and advisory around blockchain technologies. They brought the whole team
right.
that was doing crypto and blockchain from EY and to this new division. So that's an interesting approach, you know, selling
yeah.
Consulting services, systems integration. The other approach is trying to make it fit with your cloud-based solutions,
mm-hmm.
like KPN is doing, and with their digital services. So
right.
there is, I think, a strong potential for the building blocks that make these technologies and that are being redeveloped with the blockchain-inspired solutions
right.
to fit in a future where many of the services that operators develop or launch are
yep.
cloud-based.
But these are more enterprise professional services opportunities rather than re-engineering internal systems or,
yes.
or the way billing or payment or things work.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, great. Thank you for that, Enrique. You mentioned a couple of reports. They're available on our website. I think if you search for blockchain
or DLT. We've written two reports and we've written two articles, and we continue to follow this space and are very interested in getting comments or questions from the audience.
Okay, great. Well, we'll put the links to those articles in the notes for this podcast. Great.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Cheers.